Hello, everybody. This week's parsha is Parshas Metzora, and the parsha begins with the pasuk Zeis Tihiyeh Teiras HaMetzora. This should be the laws of a Metzora. And before I share about it, what's this expression of Zeis Tihiyeh? This should be. Why isn't Torah to say simply Zeis Teiras HaMetzora? These are the laws of a Metzora. Like it says elsewhere, it says Zeis Teiras HaEila. These are the laws of a carbon Eila. Zeis Teiras HaMincha. These are the laws of a carbon Mincha. What's this expression of Tihiyeh? This should be. And I saw in the Sefer Nesivos Das, it says a beautiful pshat. The Gemara tells us in Erechin that, you know, what is a person who spoke Lashon Hara, what does he do to get tshuva? How does he fix up what he's done wrong? We all know halakhically there's a big discussion that it's very hard to do tshuva on Lashon Hara because the person you spoke evil about, the person you spoke bad about, he doesn't know that you did something wrong to him. So if you're going to go and tell him, hi, by the way, I told everyone that you're really a loser, right? That's a very, very painful thing to do to him, to inform him of the fact that you spoke Lashon Hara about him. So is it better to tell him or not to let him know and let him live in bliss that he doesn't know the people he, you know, were told that he's a loser? So there's a big machlekes in Chafetz Chaim or Shaul Salanter. Chafetz Chaim holds that, look, you want to get kapara, the guy has to forgive you. If the guy doesn't know what he's forgiving you for, the forgiveness doesn't work. Shaul Salanter says, that's true, but what right do you have to cause him pain in order for you to get forgiveness? So you have no right to harm somebody and inform him of all this, you know, shame that he has and in order that you can get forgiveness. So it's a very, very complicated topic. Ultimately, the minig is seemingly to be lenient or whatever you want to put it and go like Rishon Salanter and not tell the person. We go to a person on Erev Yom Kippur and we say, look, if I ever maybe did anything to you, you know, that might have caused bad to you, could you forgive me? And we hope that that would be sufficient. But the Gemara says that what could a person do going forward? A person who is engaged in Lashon Hara, the Gemara says, a person should now, instead of using his mouth for bad, he should go and use his mouth for good, and he should learn more Torah with his mouth. Till now, he's been causing evil in the world with his mouth, and now he'll go and bring Kedusha into the world and bring happiness into the world by using his mouth for Torah. And that, says the Sivas Das, is what Torah is telling us. Zeis Tihiyeh Teiras HaMetzora. This should be, as in the future, going forward, this is what he should be doing. He should be using his mouth to learn Torah, and that is what the pasuk is teaching me by saying, Zeis Tihiyeh Teiras HaMetzora. The Gemara darshins, what is this expression, Metzora? Usually, the Torah, when it talks about the person who has Tzaras, the Torah uses terminology of Hatzorua, the guy who has Tzaras. What's HaMitzayra? It's only used one time, and that's in the beginning of this parasha when it says Zeis Teres HaMitzayra. So Gemara says, we see from here that it's a, so to speak, a netrikun, a acronym for a Mitzira, a guy who brings out the evil of others, he speaks out the bad part about others, and it's an illusion that Tzaras comes from speaking Lashon Hara, which is kind of how we've all been taught always, is that Tzaras is related to Lashon Hara. The problem is, look at the Gemara in Erechin, Tezvav and Tezayin, in the discussion over there, the Gemara says seven different averis that can cause a person to get tzaras. With including in there is arayas, adultery, shvichas damim, murder, gezel, stealing, tzaras ayin, being stingy. Right. So the question is, why is it that the Gemara is saying that the word mitzira is ultimately an acronym for mitzira, for speaking evil about other people, and why is that always, or even always taught always, is that Tzaras is about Lashon Hara? Why of all of the seven Averis is that the one that everyone focuses on? So, the Sefer Tzor Hamar says, because the Gemara there actually says a very scary thing. The Gemara there says that Lashon Hara is keneged, a person who speaks Lashon Hara, he's magdil avoinis, he, so to speak, makes so many sins, more sins, keneged shalosh Averis, which is, so to speak, you know, corresponding to or equal to three great sins, Gilui Arayos, adultery, Shvichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, And so therefore, says the Tzor Hamar, because the Gemara says Lashon Hara is so severe that it's equal to the three cardinal sins, therefore that's the one that we always focus on, because that's supposed to be the most severe of all of them. But that in itself begs explanation. Why, ultimately, we don't find, the Torah says a person, you know, commits adultery, a person serves idols, a person kills somebody, they're put to death. It's capital punishment. Right? A person who speaks Lashon Hara, we don't see a Torah giving such a severe punishment. So how do we say that this sin is greater than all those sins. So I saw again in Sefer Sivas Das, it brings a Yerushalmi, a very obscure Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that we know, just like we find that there's different types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that the reward is completely reserved for the world to come. It doesn't give you any benefit in this world, so to speak. All the reward is saved. And there are certain mitzvahs, which you say in the morning by Berachas HaTorah, there are certain mitzvahs that pereseihen ba'olam hazeh. A person gets dividends in this world. The principle, the keren, is saved for the world to come. But there's dividends already in this world. And therefore, says Yerushalmi, the same applies as well to certain averus. There's averus, which a person already, God forbid, gets punished for them in this world. And of all those averus, the one that causes the greatest punishment in this world is Lashon Hara, says Yerushalmi. Because, again, Yerushalmi doesn't say this, but I think the simple explanation is because you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats a person mida k'neged mida. So, in as much as he's going around bringing her to interview and into focus the faults of other people, God forbid that can be a reason that his own faults can be looked at and judged in this world as well. And therefore, says the Sefer Nesivos Das, that could be what the Gemara means, is that although, yes, a person who sins in three cardinal sins, it's much more severe in essence, but when it comes to causing problems in this world, like getting tzaras, the one that's really the most severe, the one that's most likely to cause such problems to happen is tzaras, is Lashon Hara, because that's the one that really brings the most, so to speak, divine scrutiny in this world, God forbid. Towards the end of the parasha, we have the discussion of tzaras habatim. When Hashem would put a funny, strange color will appear on a person's wall of a person's house, and there's a whole halakhas of taking out those bricks, and eventually if it keeps coming back, you have to destroy the whole house. And Rashi brings a medrash that this really was, so to speak, a good thing. Why? Because the people living there in Eretz Yisrael before the Jews came, the Amorim and all the Kananim, they, when they heard the Jews are coming, so they hid all their diamonds and all their valuables in the walls of their homes. And there was no way for the Jews to find it. Jews had no idea that they existed. And only once they got tzaras on their batim, the walls of their homes, did they have to take apart their walls of their homes, and they were able to find all these hidden valuables in the walls of their home. And the question is that from Rashi, it seems like tzaras habatim was a good thing. A person should be excited they got tzaras on the walls of his house. But the Gemara in Erechin says clearly that tzaras habatim comes because a person was, you know, didn't want to have, you know, guests, didn't want to have poor people in his home. He was miserly. And therefore, the person gets punished by having to have his home, you know, go under construction to show him that his home was really meant to be used for mitzvahs and not just for his own pleasure. So which one is it? Is it a good thing to get tzaras habatim, or is it a bad thing to get tzaras habatim? And I saw in a few svarim of Josh Moshe, Mishulchan Gavaya, and others, they say a beautiful pshat. They say that the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wanted to give a person money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it in many, many ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to have a guy suffer through having his home go under construction, all the dust and all the bricks and everything happen, to give a guy money. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a guy money, he could do it simple as pie. A guy gets a check in the mail, it's good to go. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in such a way that a person has to have his home destroyed? It's because the person needed a kapar. The person needed to be guided and prodded that, you know, you should be using your home for something else. And the person who is, so to speak, not doing the right things with his home, he gets punished. He has tzaras habatim. But ultimately, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the one who loves us so much, even in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishments, if we use them and we use them as a way to do tshuva, and we say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I'm going to change my ways. If we take the message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the very punishment itself that I gave you, there's going to be a gift, and there's going to be money in there. It's all going to be better than when you started. So, says the Josh Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course a person's a real tzaddik, a pure tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the money straight. A person who's not a pure tzaddik, a person who messed up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you know what, look, let's work together, let's do tshuva, and if you do tshuva, I'll make it better for you. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much that even when he punishes us, God forbid, he can make it that the punishment itself has in it the blessings that we need to be even better, to be even better off than when we started. This is also known as Shabbos HaGadol, and there's different explanations as to why this Shabbos is called the Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos, The Torah says the most famous reason is because there was a great miracle that happened when the Jews were told to go and bring this sheep and tie it to their bed for 4 days to check if it had a blemish before bringing it as a carbon for Karban Pesach. The Egyptians saw it. The Egyptians are very, very upset. But yet the Egyptians weren't able to do anything about it. And that happened, that started on Shabbos. That's when they brought the sheep. And therefore, this Shabbos is commemorating that miracle of the Jews being saved from the Egyptians' wrath by taking the sheep. Tosfos says, a different explanation, Tosfos says that when the Bechirim of Mitzrayim, when the firstborn heard they're going to die in the Makas Bechirim, in the plague of the firstborns, they got obviously very upset, they took it very personally, and they started a revolt. They wanted the power to let the Jews go so their lives can be saved. And that in and of itself caused a great civil war, and many Egyptians were killed, and that was part of the beginning of the Exodus from Egypt. And Tosfos says, that's why we say in davening, Makas Mitzrayim Bechirim, he who hit the Egyptians with their firstborn. It means that the Egyptians' firstborn themselves were the ones who attacked them. But I have somebody I know, his name is Yishai Brunner. He said he was once driving Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach told him that the real pshat and why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is very simple. This is a pshat brought down by Rafal HaRoife. He was a brother of the Shibali HaLeket. And he says it's because there's a great big drusha that goes on in every shul. On this Shabbos, where we discuss all the laws of Pesach, we review all the different halakhas that come up, and that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because of the big drasha that happens on Shabbos. And the truth is, this explanation answers the big question that's difficult than all the other explanations. Everyone wants to know, again, most holidays we celebrate not based on the day of the week that it happened, but based on the day of the month. And for some reason, Shabbos HaGadol is always celebrated on Shabbos and not based on the day of the month. And according to this, it makes a lot of sense, because it's not about the day of the month, it's about the Shabbos before Pesach, is when people have a chance to sit down and listen to review all the halachas of Pesach. Shlomo Zalman said a very deep thing. He said, so why did the Torah and Tosfos give different explanations for Shabbos HaGadol if that's the real pshat? And he said as follows. He said, you find that in the Gemara, in Megillah, the Gemara discusses why Tiberia is called Tiberia. The Gemara brings that some psukim call it Rekes, based on their name, the original city of the Canaan. But the Gemara says the reason why it's called Tiberia is because it's Yosheves. It sits in the Tiburei Shel Olam, in the center, the navel of the world. And the obvious question of the Gemara, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, is that we know that historically it's named after a Roman emperor, Roman Caesar, named Tiberius, and that's why it's called Tiberia. So what does the Gemara mean by saying it's because of Yeshevis B'Tiburei Shel Olam, it's in the navel of the world? And he said what Chazal mean is that why do the Jewish people now take on this name of Tiberia? Why was it accepted by Jewish people and put as a part of Jewish culture, so to speak? Why is it there? It's only because it has real value to it, because it alludes to very important concepts, like the fact that Tiberia actually does sit in the center of the world spiritually. And therefore, says Shabbos Zalman, the same thing applies to Shabbos HaGadol. Yes, Shabbos HaGadol is really the main reason why it's called that is because of the big drasha. Why did Chazal, so to speak, why did the Jewish people take it and put it as a part of their lexicon? Why did it become part of the Jewish culture to call it Shabbos HaGadol? Is because it has many allusions to it. It alludes to the miracle that happened with the Bechirim. It alludes to the miracle that happened in Mitzrayim. And therefore, the name was taken on because of all of the meanings it contains inside it. And truth, I heard the same thing from David Zucker. I asked him, you know, we know all the beautiful drushes that are found in really, really early sources to why Elul is called Elul, Anil Daidi Li, etc. And we know that historically, Elul is not a Jewish name for the month. It's a name that the Jewish people took when they left Babel. Ramban writes all the names of the months that we have are names that the Babylonians call their months. And practically, the Assyrians here on Divan still call their months in the exact same names. So how can we say it has all these deep meanings if it's a non-Jewish name? And Zucker told me the exact same shot. Is that correct? But why did Chazal see it fit to put this name and use it? Every Jewish family now for thousands of years are using these names, is because it must be that there's a lot of, so to speak, significance and allusions we can tie into this name, which is all these drushes that people are telling us about Nila Dadi Dadi Li, etc. So that's the reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. But ultimately, I wanted to bring out that this point that Rafal Reif is telling us is ultimately is that a big part of Shabbos HaGadol is the fact that there's a big drasha and people come to review all the laws of Pesach, and that's a very important thing. And the Shalach Kodesh writes that the amount of prep a person puts into getting ready for Pesach, that's how great of a Pesach they're going to have. And yes, getting ready for Pesach is overwhelming. Yes, it can be sometimes stressful. But a person has to realize that this is when he makes Pesach. This is what's going to define what his Pesach is. The more effort he puts in and the more time he spends on getting ready for Pesach, all the running around, it's not wasted. It's not, so to speak, just something painful you have to do. This is how you make your Pesach. This is what makes you feel the cheres that comes ultimately when Pesach begins. And a person should appreciate it and enjoy it. We should all be zeichet to see the geula shalem meher v'yameinu. Should have a wonderful Shabbos.